my sin upon that cross. No, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. No, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. No, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship. Here I
Tonight, we wrap up this series, The Imperfect Prayer Life and the Desire for Communion with God. Next Sunday night, I'm starting a series. I want to look at the title I gave is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, 15 Results of the Death of God the Son on the Cross. And there really are that many different, important accomplishments. Beyond just my sins are forgiven and I'm given eternal life, there's a number of things that we don't think about all that often. So there'll be study notes for everybody, and that'll be for, I don't know, 12 weeks, 10, 11 weeks. We'll do that on Sunday nights. Praying scripturally for your own heart. There are 7 things. Maybe it's more rememberable with all beginning with D. So it starts with a prayer request and then a scripture verse, prayer request, scripture verse. And what I want to do first, I'm going to read it all through quickly, and then we're going to go back and look at each one individually. Why don't you get the feel, the flow of how the thing works? Delight. Whatever it takes, Lord, give me delight in you as the greatest treasure of my heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 2, desires. Whatever it takes, Lord, align the desires of my heart with yours. And then the verses. Dependence. Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my awareness of my dependence on you in everything so that I will live continually by faith. 4, discernment. Whatever it takes, Lord, teach me to discern good from evil in the rigorous exercise of constant practice. Desperation. Whatever it takes, Lord, keep me desperate for you because I tend to wander when I stop feeling my need for you. Discipline. Whatever it takes, Lord, discipline me for my good, that I may share your holiness and bear the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The verse applies that. Lastly, diligence. Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my resolve to do your will with all diligence. I think you can see those words at the beginning of each prayer, whatever it takes. You want to be careful when you pray like that, because God may answer that prayer. You have to have a deeper desire than your own comfort to make these requests of the Lord. But I don't know of any way of keeping my heart where it's supposed to be without praying about these things. All right, so let's go back and look at each one, a few comments on each one, okay? Delight. Whatever it takes, Lord, give me delight in you as the greatest treasure of my heart. That may mean God removing distracting treasures from our hearts. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Of course, if you're delighting in the Lord, your number one request is going to be, God, what delights your heart? What brings you the greatest joy? It's that song we sing that badly abuses that verse from the last part of Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And sometimes you get the impression that the joy of the Lord means if I'm jumping up and down really, really happy that I've got the joy of the Lord. The song is not about that at all. It's about two things: God's joy, right, and my strength. The joy of who? The Lord is Don Horben's strength. What that means is he doesn't just make me giddily happy all the time. It means if I will exercise my will to find out what brings joy to God, if I'm committed to doing the things that delight God, my life will be the strongest it can possibly be. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Find out what brings joy to the Lord, and that's what will make you the strongest person possible. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Humbly, honestly, examine your deepest delights. I said honestly. Humbly, honestly, examine your heart's deepest delights. Let me give you a suggestion. What will reveal the delights of your heart the most isn't where you put your money. It's often taught that way. What will reveal the delights of my heart the most is, where do I put most of my time? Time is a much better measure than money. If I have more hours during the week for Netflix than God's word, there's only one reason for that. This is more delightful to me. Nobody sins out of obligation. We sin out of desire. So it's a very humbling thing to stop and say, what is it that actually brings the most delight to my heart? Because it's not just going to be the song you sing. It's going to be primarily the way you use your time. It is a dangerous sign when religious exercise becomes mere duty. I know we go through in season and out of season. I'm not saying there aren't times where you press through. But the general tone of my heart for the Lord ought to be, he brings me more joy. I delight in him. I would do things for Renee that I wouldn't do for any other woman in the room. Why? She's my delight. See, that's obedience and service flows out of delight rather than just duty. So make that your prayer. Whatever it takes, Lord, give me delight in you as the greatest treasure of my heart. And see where you honestly find most of your delight. Okay, desires. It's related, but slightly different. Whatever it takes, Lord, align the desires of my heart with yours. We pray it every Sunday night. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and then your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. By me, let your will be done in earth now, the way your will is done in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? Well, it's done immediately. It's done unquestioningly. It's done faithfully. It's done joyfully. Whatever it takes, Lord, align the desires of my heart with yours. And I circled yours in my notes. How will I know the desires of God's heart? You have to know God. You have to know his ways. You have to find the things that displease him, the things that do please him, the things that he commands, the things that he desires, the things that he delights in. Whatever it takes, align the desires of my heart with yours. Everything flows from desire. This isn't in the notes, I'm sorry. I was reading this just before coming out tonight. Desires are the issue, are the biggest issue. James 1:14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. You would think it should always be Satan, but it isn't. Each one is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do you see the progression? Just a desire. But it's like conception. It starts something irreversible. Something is birthed in that desire. The thing about desires is they almost always look insignificant at the start. But in the entertaining of them, the feeding of them, the giving in small ways, no wonder, Lord, whatever it takes, align the desires of my heart with yours. 3, dependence. Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my awareness of my dependence on you in everything so that I will constantly live by faith. And the thing that will reveal whether I'm aware of my dependence on the Lord or not is my prayer life. More than my Bible study, my prayer life will reveal whether I have a true sense of dependence on the Lord. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, Don, you can do nothing. It doesn't mean I can't comb my hair and brush my teeth. But in terms of anything spiritual in my heart, anything of the growing of the inner person, knowing God, following God, I can't do that on my own. Now, dependence is trickier for people like we than a lot of other people on the planet tonight. We live in a culture with so many safeguards, insurance, health plans, benefits, coverage, hospitals, doctors, dentists, psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, pension funds. For people who can seemingly cover their basic needs, no wonder, Lord, whatever it takes, increase my awareness and my dependence on you so that I will constantly live by faith. It's very difficult to live by faith if I don't have any conscious sense of need. Make it a matter of prayer. Discernment. Whatever it takes, Lord, teach me to discern good from evil through the rigorous exercise of constant practice. And here's where I said the verse talks about that. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. That's why it's in the request. To distinguish good from evil. discernment. Just on the side, just as a point of information, there is no such thing as the gift of discernment. We're aware of that, right? There's discernment that's talked about here by use. You grow, you learn to discern things, and there's the gift of discerning of spirits. But don't let someone come up to you and say, God's given me the gift of discernment, and I think you should quit dating so-and-so, and you should start. Just say, I'm sorry. You think you have a gift that doesn't exist. There's the discerning of spirits that Paul talks about, and there's general discernment that the writer is talking about in Hebrews right here. You want to make it a matter of prayer that we grow in the use of discernment, because once forgiven, I don't want to be making the same mistake over and over again. Because it makes forgiveness far too light a thing. There's one thing to sin, go to God for grace, experience forgiveness. That's not quite the same as a complete process of discerning where I went wrong. Remember, the desire conceived, thought about, gives birth. Discernment is not just getting grace for where I ended up, it's learning how I ended up where I ended up. Pray to God not just for grace and forgiveness, pray to Him for discernment. I couldn't think of a better word than this one. The next one, desperation. Whatever it takes, Lord, keep me desperate for you, because I tend to wander. I tend to wander when I stop feeling my need of you. Psalm 119:67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. It's a simple verse, but not a comfortable one. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I keep your word. One of the great songs that we sing, I love the phrase, my hands automatically reach out to the Lord every time I sing it. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Anybody that says they never feel it isn't telling you the truth. That's our hearts. They need to be constantly kept hungry, desperate for the Lord. And it's not something I can work up just at the right emotional time in a church service. That's a matter of prayer. When do I feel it? When do I feel this wandering from the Lord? Probably more when I'm with God's people, when I'm exposed to the word, prayer, worship. Those are the things that awaken something in the heart that isn't probably awake when you're watching a movie somewhere. Discipline. Whatever it takes, Lord, discipline me for my good, that I may share your holiness and bear the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12, 10 and 11. He, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, this is the opposite of sinful desires. What they do later is mess you up. Kind of the chastening, the discipline of the Lord seems unpleasant, but later you realize it was a good thing, a beautiful thing. See the difference in the ends of those two paths. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. Chastisement. How do I know whether the book of Hebrews is just blunt, whether we like it or not? The book of Hebrews says, if you're God's children at all, you're going to be chastised. How do I know when God is chastening me and when I'm just going through a rough patch or making dumb decisions or just the result of life in a fallen world? Well, you probably won't unless you're a person who regularly makes that a matter of prayer. God, awaken my heart. If there's something you're showing me in this difficult stretch, if there's something I need to be learning, and this is why there's that discernment thing that we talked about earlier, it mixes in with this. probably spending a lot of time in the Word, reading examples of people. I can see where God chastened someone for doing this in the Bible, and I can think, you know, that's not all that different from, that's what I was doing, and I'm experiencing the same thing. So a knowledge of the Word, assembling regularly with God's people. There are, let me just be as blunt as I can be, there are hundreds of Christians who go through life not knowing God's will and not understand what God's doing, and the only reason is they don't regularly go to church. And they're just praying somewhere along the way while they're walking through the mall, God's going to zap wisdom into them, and it's not going to happen. God's chastening. Read about it in the Word. Make it a matter of prayer. Be regularly involved with the body of Christ. Diligence. Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my resolve to do your will with all diligence. These are great verses. Ephesians 5, 15, and 16. Look carefully then at how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. The interesting thing about that, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. He doesn't say not as evil, but good. He doesn't put it in moral terms. He puts it in wisdom terms. The wrong way to live, he's not talking about bank robbers here. He's talking about people that are just not wise in the way they do what? The way they use time. It's right there in that second line, the use of time. Everybody in this room has something in common. There's not one person in this room that gets 27 hours a day. Not one. Everybody gets 24. Everybody gets exactly the same number of hours in a day. The prayer is, I don't want to be unwise with how I use the time. I want to be wise. But he starts with avoiding what is unwise, because that's the part that's addictive and will keep you from being wise. It's like Psalm 1. This isn't in your notes, sorry. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, the unwise, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord. But it doesn't start with the delight in the law of the Lord. It starts with avoiding the negative before the input of the positive. So here's the same thing. I want to walk not as unwise, but as wise, and it's in the use of time. I'll give you three things. Anybody in the room can remember them. You want to use your time and you want to be wise. Here's three things. Make them just unbreakable laws in your life. Three things. Give God the first day of every week. Make that an unbreakable commitment for the rest of your life. Give God the first day of every week. Two, give God the first part of every day. Before you get going with other things, give God the first part of every day. Three, give God the first portion of all your increase that he blesses you with. Give God the first day of every week. Give God the first part of every day. Give God the first portion of all his financial blessing on your life. You will never go wrong. That's not rocket science, is it? Those three things. Learning to walk not as unwise, but as wise. Let's just read those quickly over again, okay? And then we'll wrap up. Delight. Whatever it takes, Lord, give me delight in you as the greatest treasure of my heart. Wait a minute. I'm going to do this. I'm going to say delight, and then we'll read the prayer together, okay? We're not going to do the text. I'll say the word, and then we'll read the prayer together. Delight. Whatever it takes, Lord, give me delight in you as the greatest treasure of my heart. Desires. Whatever it takes, Lord, align the desires of my heart with yours. Dependence. Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my awareness of my dependence on you in everything so that I will live continually by faith. Discernment. Whatever it takes, Lord, teach me to discern good from evil through the rigorous exercise of constant practice. Desperation. Whatever it takes, Lord, keep me desperate for you because I tend to wander when I stop feeling my need of you. Discipline. Whatever it takes, Lord, discipline me for my good that I may share your holiness and bear the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Diligence. Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my resolve to do your will with all diligence. And everyone said,